Last count, there were almost 9,000 farmers markets in the U.S., and I have a feeling that that number is probably pretty low. Hi, Jill Nadeau here, sitting in for Larry Mueller. We're going to be talking about farmers markets with our next guest. Sarah Elliott is the manager of one of the biggest markets, the Dane County Farmers Market, and our other two guests are sellers at that market. In the studio is Bob Klebot. He's with Morning Wood Farms, and on the phone is Gretchen Cruz, and she's with Hickory Hill Farm. We'll take a look at markets with the grower's perspective and talk about how you can get the most out of your farmer's market. Why do you go to farmer's markets? Do you have questions about how farmer's markets are run? Well, we'd like you to be part of our conversation. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Well, hi, Sarah, and hi, Bob. We're going to hopefully get Gretchen on the line real soon. I think she's just about ready to come on. We have a quick change over here, so we're all kind of flustered, but we're good. So, Sarah, why don't you, I want to tell you that about 10 years ago, I got to go on a tour of farmers markets in San Francisco area, and when I told them where I was from, the first thing they all mentioned was that we had one of the best markets in the country here, which would be the Dane County Farmers Market. Why don't you tell us why it has such a great reputation?
I think that most of our renown comes from the fact that we are the largest producer-only farmers market in the country.
Amazing.
And we throw around this term, producer-only,
right,
really easily, but I think a lot of times people don't really understand that that means that the person, literally the person behind the stand, is the person who grew or raised the food or other products that you're purchasing at the market.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of markets allow some resale, and a lot of times it's not true that the person standing there is actually the farmer. So that's something that we really take a lot of pride in, and it has given us a lot of national recognition.
Right. And how big is the market now?
So we have about 275 members, but they don't all vend each Saturday. On a given Saturday, when we encircle the Capitol Square, about 150 to 170 of our members are present.
Mm-hmm.
But throughout the course of our whole season, our outdoor season, all of our members will vend at some point.
Sure, because it depends on what's in market, in season, for that matter. And you said about the Capitol Square. Why don't you just tell, for those who are not familiar, there's a few out there, tell us where it is and, you know, hours and that type of thing.
Sure. So our flagship market is on Saturdays from mid-April until November 10th this year, but usually mid-November. We encircle the Wisconsin State Capitol Square on Saturdays from 6:15 until 1:45. We do also have a smaller, more intimate market on Wednesdays on the 200 block of Martin Luther King Boulevard. And we have two winter markets as well. So we actually operate all year round with the exception of two Saturdays around the holidays.
Oh, I did not realize you did a winter market. So where is that?
From the end of our outdoor season until the new year, we're at the Monona Terrace.
Oh.
And then once the new year starts, from then until April, we're at the Madison Senior Center.
Okay. And Bob, you are a grower. What is it that you grow? And tell us about Morningwood Farms.
Well, Morningwood Farm has been a grower of annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs. These days, we're focusing primarily on succulents, and which seems to have hit a niche at the Dane County Farmers Market. Farmers markets are a great place to find diversity of well-grown annuals and well-grown vegetable starts.
Okay.
And I think what's interesting about what Sarah mentioned as our being a producer-only market is that the plants that you buy from a plant vendor at a producer-only market have been taken care of up to the day that they're sold. They're not bought in from somewhere. They've been well watered, well fertilized, and they're ready to go. And I do think that the annuals and perennials and plants that you find at a farmer's market as a result are of much better quality because of that producer only.
And we've got Gretchen on the line. Hi, Gretchen.
Hello.
Thank you so much for joining us. You are with Hickory Hill Farm. Why don't you tell us about what you do there and what you produce?
Well, we are a fourth-generation family farm located outside of Loganville in Sauk County. And My parents started farming on a small-scale organic back as early as the 1950s, and in 1973, we started as a family attending the Dane County Farmers Market. So we've been around for quite a while. I recently came back in 2011 and took over the stand, and so we grow, and throughout the year, we've gone through different iterations of what we produce, but currently I'm growing small grains. We have a fair flock of chickens, which we sell eggs. We also do some meat birds in the summer. We have quite a large garden where we grow a variety of different produce items, and we do maple syrup as well in the spring. And then I have a specialty crop of different tropicals, some of which are experimental and some of which I've been able to harvest and sell parts of during the growing season and throughout the year.
Okay, thank you. Now, Bob and Gretchen, why do you decide to sell at a farmer's market? Bob, go ahead.
Well, the farmer's market basically allows us to take our nursery to the public versus having to bring the public into our nursery. Yeah, we're not located in the best retail spot. So having access to a farmer's market gets us the customers.
And do you sell in other areas too? Do you have other farmer's markets, or do you also sell other ways?
Well, we've focused primarily on Dane County Farmers Market. In the past, we've sold at three other farmers markets in the area, all of which have their own different dynamics and have been successful for us. But these days, we're focusing primarily on Dane County Farmers Market on the square.
And what about you, Gretchen?
My main focus is the Dane County Farmers Market, but I do sell a bit to restaurants within Madison or other places if it's requested. I've currently started branching out a little bit into more my very direct local community of Reedsburg, Baraboo area. We're doing a Hill and Valley tour actually this fall, which is part of it's going on at the same time as Fermentation Fest, and that's going to give people a chance to come out to the farm and get a walk around and kind of learn about how we're growing things. And so, you know, those kind of events are very important to reach out to our more direct local community, although I do consider Madison a very direct local community as well. And the main reason I sell there is because it's a family heritage, and it's kind of, you know, it's an emotional thing, but I really enjoy coming to Madison.
And Sarah, is that kind of the way it goes? It's become a family community kind of thing for the sellers?
Oh, I think certainly for the sellers, hands down, when we ask the sellers why they choose to come to market, the first thing they all talk about is the customers. And it really works both ways, because I think that that's one of the things that sets apart your shopping experience in the market from, say, going to the grocery store, is that as a customer, you have the best resource possible standing right there. It's the person who actually grew or raised the products. And it's really that relationship that is fundamental to the market and what keeps growers coming back, but it's also what keeps customers coming back.
And that brings up another question too. Farmers markets are not just a place where you go buy things. What are some of the other things that it brings to, you know, a community to have a farmers market?
Certainly. Well, I think community is really one of the key words to it. It is a community gathering place, and you can cultivate relationships between growers and buyers, but also, you know, between community members themselves. And we certainly see the ritual of it, the people who, that's what they do on Saturday mornings.
Right.
They get up, maybe grab some coffee, but they and their family or their loved ones go to the farmers market. It's also a great way to celebrate the seasons. Here in Wisconsin, we certainly earn our spring, summer, and fall after that winter.
Yes, we do.
And there's something really intimate about going to the market and being there when the first asparagus hits the stands or the first sweet corn of the year. So it's really a celebratory community event.
And what are we seeing right now in the market? Bob, what are you taking to market right now?
Well, like I said before, we're focusing on succulents, and that which are ornamental plants. But as far as plants go, the you see a large diversity of herbs and vegetable starts. And for example, heirloom tomatoes have mm-hmm. been very popular over the years, and the variety of heirloom tomatoes that you can find at farmers markets, not only as produce, but as plant starts at this time of year, is unparalleled. You cannot find that in the garden center. I know of one vendor at the farmers market who has probably over 60 different kinds of herbs that you've never heard of. And it's just wonderful to have a conversation with him about their uses and how they grow. And you won't find that at a garden center.
And that's a really great point because, you know, we do Garden Talk every Friday and we always have people calling in and say, I want to find, where can I get it? That's a really good thought, is to go to the farmer's market and see if they have it there. So, Gretchen, what are you bringing to the farmer's market?
Well, eggs. I have some baking mixes that we put together from our milled grains that we harvested last fall. I've got fresh herbs coming on. I've kind of slowed down on the kefir lime leaves, but that's kind of one of the tropical specialties that I carry generally year-round. I have 6 trees that come in the winter and go out in the summer, so I'm able to harvest small amounts. And then I have some produce like green onions and edible flowers coming in. So and then wildings, as the fruit ripens outside, I'll be bringing that as well.
And Sarah, what are some of the other things that we're seeing besides what Bob and Gretchen provide?
Everywhere that you see the spring delicacies. So uh-huh. asparagus, rhubarb, green onions, like Gretchen mentioned. It's also the very elusive time of year that you will see morel mushrooms at market.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, and people get very excited for that. And ramp season is pretty much over here in Madison, but the western part of the state and certainly up north, mm-hmm. folks still can enjoy some ramps, which are a wonderful spring delicacy. Nettles, tons of salad greens and lettuce greens. I think after winter, we all need to just eat lots of big plates full of salad.
And look at them. Just looking at the green is a good thing. Now, are there some things that maybe people aren't expecting at farmers markets, like the one here in Dane County, that you may be carrying?
Sure. I mean, I think Gretchen touched upon something that we're seeing as a trend, are just farmers being more and more innovative. She mentioned bringing the kefir lime leaves.
Yeah.
Like, we're also seeing farmers bringing fresh ginger and fresh turmeric. Now, that won't be until the fall, mm-hmm. But there's just a wonderful, amazing innovation going on, especially around season extension. I also think fruits and vegetables and plants and flowers tend to get a lot of our attention because they are so beautiful and
right.
colorful,
yeah.
But kind of hidden away, tucked behind vendor stalls. Most farmers markets also offer a lot of meat products and cheese products. They're just not quite as upfront because they're nice and safely tucked away in the coolers, as they should be.
As they should be.
Exactly.
That's very important. Very important.
And we definitely don't want to, gloss over the Wisconsin cheese. We are
no.
very lucky here, and all markets just have an amazing, wonderful variety. Certainly at the Dane County Farmers Market, we see your cheese curds and your standard Colby's and cheddars, but then also, you know, cave aged and bandage wrapped.
All that good stuff.
Exactly.
And the sample is good. We're talking with Sarah Elliott, who's the manager of the Dane County Farmers Market, and Bob Kleba. Did I say that right? I said it wrong, didn't I? What is it, Bob?
I said
Kleba. Okay, that's good. Of Morningwood Farm and Gretchen Kruse of Hickory Fill Farm. They both sell at the Dane County Market. I'm Jill Najoe, and I'm filling in for Larry Mueller today. Stay with us. We'll continue our conversation on the market right after we hear from the news. We're We're talking about farmers markets today. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, filling in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network. In the studio with me is Sarah Elliott. She's the manager of the Dane County Farmers Market. And we have two growers who also go to the Dane County Farmers Market with us. Bob Klaba. I'm sure I did that wrong again. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I can't get it. Anyway, the morning from Morningwood Farms and Gretchen Cruz with Hickory Hill Farm. What do you like about farmers markets? Are you thinking of selling at a market, or maybe you're thinking about opening your own farmers market in your community? What questions do you have? We have a bunch of experts here, so give us a call. We'd like to hear from you. Our number, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. So hopefully we'll get some phone calls, but we were talking a little bit in the break about the number of farmers markets that we have. And Sarah, what did you come up with? You said,
I think it's just shy of 300 farmers markets in the state of Wisconsin.
Right. And a good place for people to go to find out a little bit more about that would be?
So two great resources. The one is the Wisconsin Farmers Market Association. Their web page has a wonderful map that you can click on by county. I believe it's just wifarmersmarkets.org.
I think that is correct.
And then the other one is the Farm Fresh Atlas of Wisconsin. And they have regional print publications, but they have a statewide map, and that's farmfreshatlas.com. Website, and that also includes information about whether or not the markets accept SNAP benefits or WIC benefits, as well as, you know, hours and all the logistical stuff.
And I was going to ask you a question about the SNAP and, you know, how has that affected markets? And, well, first tell us what it is for those who may not be familiar with it.
Sure. So SNAP is the Supplemental Nutrition Program, which is essentially food stamps. It's also known as EBT or SNAP in Wisconsin. Different states have different names for it. But basically, it enables folks who have SNAP benefits to use them at the farmer's market. And the Dane County Farmers Market partners with Community Action Coalition in order to run our SNAP program. I think just perusing through some of the resources on the Farm Fresh Atlas and the Wisconsin Farmers Market Association, it seems like many, many farmers markets across Wisconsin do accept SNAP benefits. And that's just an awesome win-win. It helps give everyone access to fresh, healthy, local food, and it puts a little bit more money in our farmers' pockets. I know that last year at the Dane County Farmers Market, we had over $35,000 worth of SNAP benefits that were spent at market. So that's definitely something to be proud of. And since you asked, Jill, I do have to do a quick plug for in the Madison area, so in Dane County, Madison, Monona, the Double Dollars program starts not this Saturday, but next Saturday, June 2nd. And that's a program that is done in partnership with the City of Madison and Dane County that provides a doubling incentive. So folks that are using their SNAP benefits actually get their money doubled to spend at the farmer's market.
And that's just fine for you to do that, by the way. That's great. Bob, why don't you tell us, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, communities that maybe want to take advantage of having a farmer's market, what it does for the community. What are some things that they should maybe do before they decide, okay, let's just do it? What's some of the prelim that they should do to see if they can maybe support a farmer's market?
Oh, great question, Jill. Starting a farmer's market it can be painful because you have a chicken and egg situation where you don't get the customers if the customers don't have a diversity of product, and the farmers won't vend if they don't get a large number of customers. So the first thing you really need to do is to figure out whether you can get the right mix of farmers to get that product mix together and to commit to vending for a season or a trial period, let's say, of 2-3 months in the summer. And advertising helps, and whatever can be done to get the word out. And gauging the feel of the community to know whether there is a demand for a farmer's market is secondary, I think, because it's almost one of those situations where if you make it happen, the customers will come.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least you hope so, right?
Yeah.
Sarah, do you agree with that?
I think that talking with your local farmers and making sure that they want a farmer's market is one of the key components to it, because it really does connect to what Bob was saying with the whole chicken and egg. But it does need to make sense for your producers or it will never be successful.
Because there are a lot of farmer's markets and farmers can only do so much and be so many places, right?
Right. Yeah. And if we start asking them to be in more places for essentially the same amount of money, it's an equation that doesn't make sense.
Right. And they're in it to make a profit. You know, it's a business. So, Gretchen, how are your feelings about farmers markets that maybe do reselling? Is that a deterrent for you if you wanted to go to, you know, maybe look at a farmers market?
Personally, yes, it is a deterrent for me, but at the same time, it depends on the products that they're carrying, because there are certainly products that we may not be able to produce at this time here, and yet I would like to support more local small businesses, so that's an option. But essentially, I personally prefer, if I were to attend and buy at a farmer's market, I would rather have people producing and selling who produce that product themselves. If I'm to sell at one, I would prefer to sell at one that also is a producer only, because I think that the customer base, it gives them a chance to be more personally connected to the producers.
And if someone's listening and they're thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty good at growing whatever or making something, what tips would you give them for starting out at a market?
Could you repeat that question? I'm not understanding it.
Well, if someone came to you and say, you know, Gretchen, I want to start selling at the farmer's market because I grow wonderful tomatoes, what advice would you give them?
Well, I would tell them to try and grow products that not everybody else is doing, first of all. But if they want to do tomatoes, there are always varieties of tomatoes that the neighbor is not growing. They could also do value added with their tomatoes and sell processed, if they have that ability, to sell them processed in a different form than what their neighbor vendor is selling them, so that they could also have a niche in that market.
Bob, do you agree? Since you do succulents, I'm assuming that's not a lot of people do succulents.
Oh, yeah. We hit a very, I want to say small niche, but it turned out to be a large niche for us. That worked out really well. But even before we did succulents, just having a diversity of plants was what drew customers to our particular stand at the market.
Do you do some experimentation? It's like, well, maybe this will work and we'll try it for a few weeks, and if it doesn't work, you just don't do it again?
Well, I think the produce farmers have the same problem, because what's popular this year and, of course, what you order loads of for the following year may not be popular the following year. So it's funny. Ultimately, it all works out if you maintain that diversity. But it's hard to gauge what customers are going to buy, especially when you're ordering the seeds in November and December.
And that's a problem that's not necessarily just farmers market. We're talking about Wisconsin farmers markets today, and we'd like you to be part of the conversation. Is there a farmers market that you love to go to that you want to tell us about because it's really special? Well, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. We have open lines for you. You can also send us an email. Our email address is ideas@wpr.org. So what tips do you have for buying really good produce at a farmer's market? How do you know you're buying something that's perfect or good, or you know what I mean? Sarah, you must know that.
Sure. This is also something I would love to hear from folks that are listening to the show. But I think that first and foremost, you want to think seasonally. So it's difficult to come to the farmer's market this time of year and, you know, expect sweet corn or pumpkins or something that you're not going to find. So you definitely want to think seasonally, and you definitely want to talk to the farmer about what they think are the best traits of whatever it is that you're looking at. I also think to really get the most out of any farmer's market shopping experience, you're going to need to try something new. And there's always something when you're walking around, whether, you know, it's a cut of meat or a fruit or vegetable that you just are not quite sure what it is. And that's a great opportunity to talk to the farmer and try something new. And you really may find that you absolutely love it. Some other tips: you certainly want to bring a cooler bag, or maybe keep a cooler in the trunk of your car if you're traveling for a little ways before you get to market. A lot of times your market delicacies will not be so lovely after a couple hours in the sun. I also encourage folks, there's trends in the food world kind of about talking about from tip to tail or from top to root, but to really be thinking about the whole product when you're at market. So like radishes, we're also seeing the first carrots of the season. Radish tops or carrot tops make delightful pestos. Like, don't just cut them off and throw them away. So you can really use the entire product, and that also makes your shopping experience that much more.
And are there, do you have demonstrations or to help people learn how to cook with some of the things at the market?
We occasionally have demonstrations at our Wednesday market. We don't have them at our Saturday market, but I know a lot of the other markets across Wisconsin have fantastic demonstrations. We do have a pretty nice recipe section on our website and our Super Fresh section. You can search by season, and that's something that I know a lot of other farmers markets do as well. Or they'll have an e-newsletter or social media, but I certainly would encourage folks to connect with their markets that way, because they'll get just tons of resources.
Okay, and we did get a question from Grant, and he emailed, and it says, as a longtime regular Dane County Farmers Market customer, he goes to all of them all year. The winter market on the Monona Terrace is much larger, and in his mind, the better space as opposed to the senior center, which is very small. And he wants to know, will Monona Terrace ever become the only space for the winter market? What are your plans there, Sarah?
Well, for right now, we will continue to work with both the Monona Terrace and the Madison Senior Center. And really, we love the Madison Senior Center and the Monona Terrace, but the Madison Senior Center has a kitchen, so we have the ability to do our Taste of the Market breakfast. And each Saturday, we have guest chefs, various farm-to-table chefs from the Madison area, volunteer to come in and work with our group of volunteers to prepare a community breakfast that's made with ingredients that folks can buy at market that day. And as we talk about, you know, how trying something new and resources that help you make the most of your shopping experience, being able to enjoy a breakfast that's made with products that you can then go buy and try your own hand at is something that we will definitely keep for future seasons.
So that's pretty popular, isn't it? Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, Bob, is there kind of like an unknown etiquette for people who buy at the farmer's market? Are there things that you, you know, should do when you're talking to a grower or shouldn't do?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I think getting back to what Sarah said about trying new things, one thing you can ask your grower is, well, how do I use that fennel?
Right.
For example, fennel's a strange vegetable for a lot of people, but growers know how to use it because they're eating it at home in salads or braised or however you want to prepare it. And I know at the Westside Community Farmers Market in Madison, they provide recipes every week for vegetables that are featured by the producers in that particular season. As far as plants go, the growers are the ones who see the plant from seed until flowering or fruiting. and they can tell you exactly how to use that plant and what it will combine with if it's an ornamental, and how to grow it in a container or what have you. And they're all the vendors at the farmers markets are great sources of information for the products that they vend.
Okay. And Gretchen, some people I have asked me before, is it okay to talk to a vendor and say, you know, maybe deal on the prices? Can you, you know, if I buy 10, will you give me a better price? Is that okay in your eyes?
It's always okay to ask, but I have to say that most of us have set our prices at where we can, you know, make a living. And it is our business, so we like to stay firm, but it doesn't hurt to ask because sometimes, you know, for certain reasons, we might have a better deal.
Now, do you find that that people don't take you as seriously because, you know, you're a vendor at a farmer's market, that they don't realize what this is, your income, and that this is a serious business?
Occasionally, yes. And I think, you know, it's not vocalized as much, but once in a while we get a person who might make some comment to that extent. But as a rule, a lot of the customers, they understand how much work goes into what it is that we do, and they appreciate us being there, and they're willing to pay our prices, mm-hmm. Which are not extraordinary, especially when I go into places, certain other stores to buy things, and seeing how much higher their prices actually are and compare it to how fresh our produce is straight from the field. So,
right, yeah. Great point. Sarah, did you have something to add to that?
I think it slipped my mind, but I will piggyback on what Gretchen just said about price. I do think that it's a very common misconception that shopping at the farmer's market is more expensive than shopping at your local grocery store. And going back to the idea of thinking and eating seasonally, time and time again, we find that it's actually not true. Studies have shown that the farmer's market typically is about 20%, 25% less expensive than buying the equivalent products at your grocery store. And it gives you, if you're buying in peak season, it does give you the opportunity to buy quantities and try your hand at maybe a little canning or freezing is a very easy way to take advantage of the harvest. And while we don't want to encourage folks, you know, to wheel and deal with our farmers, at peak season, many farmers do offer wonderful deals for canning quantities of different products. So buying a whole flat of strawberries, or, you know, a bushel box of tomatoes.
And are there some vegetables and fruit that we can get now that maybe we can freeze or can? What would be some good ones for that?
You can certainly freeze asparagus. I also would, so the farm, Fair Share CSA Coalition has a series of cookbooks, but one of their cookbooks is called From Asparagus to Zucchini, and it is a phenomenal resource. It has nice recipes, but it has, you can look up every product and it will tell you how to preserve it. So it will tell you, like, do you have to blanch it before you freeze it? Can you can it? Is it high acid? Is it low acid? And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful resource. But right now I would say asparagus, and I also always like to freeze rhubarb. Sometimes I will boil it with water and make kind of a rhubarb juice, which is a fantastic thing to drink in a cocktail in February when you are really missing summer. Or I'll just chop up the rhubarb and freeze it like that, and you can make it into a crisp in the depths of winter.
Yeah, great. And that book is a very good resource for anyone who does a lot of farmers market shopping. Bob, what, you've been at the farmers market for how long?
19 years.
Oh my gosh! Wow. What changes have you seen over those years?
Oh, changes over the years. I think there are more farmers markets out there, which is interesting, and it really tells you how much people are seeking out the diversity of products and fresh food. I would say that our customers are holding us to higher levels of quality, they come with greater expectations, I think, today than what they had 18 years ago, 19 years ago.
So they've educated themselves. There's so many food programs and whatnot. Yeah.
Yeah, and food programs, and also I think that the popularity of organic produce and the stores like the co-ops here in Madison and Whole Foods have really educated people that there is produce that can be better than what you can get in the chain supermarkets.
And Gretchen, what about you real quick? Have you noticed any changes?
Oh, yes. We've been, as a family, like I said, about 44 years now. So in the early 70s to mid-70s, my folks sold grains and eggs and flour as well. But then there were a lot of food regulations put on food, and so they had to stop selling certain things, and then they transitioned into more produce. Variety has always been important, but I think definitely there are trends as to what is in for people to buy, and then that may pass. But I think quality is very important, and the better the quality of food, the more customers you're going to get, and the more successful you're going to be.
Okay. Sarah, do you have a little closing remark as to why people should go to farmers markets?
Oh, I definitely encourage everyone to visit their local farmers market, support their local farmers, and try something new.
Yes, try something new, because there are a lot of new things out there, not your regular stuff that you see in the grocery store, right?
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for being with us today. We've been talking with Sarah Elliott, manager of the Dane County Farmers Market, and Bob Kabla of Morningwood Farm, and Gretchen Cruz of Hickory Hill Farm, and they both sell at the Dane County Farmers Market, so get out there on Saturday morning. Thank you again for joining us, and thanks to Jane Rotunda on air production, and to Sarah Hopeful for technical direction. Join us tomorrow at this time for Garden Talk. This week, our fruit experts are back with us to help you have a successful season. Hope you can join us for that. I'm Jill Nagel, filling in for Larry Mueller. Thanks so much for joining us on the Ideas Network. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day and stay with us, because there's always more to come on Wisconsin Public Radio.